Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that we really do have Faces for Radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. www.facebook.com.
Let's bow our head and send our strongest members to the King of Pop, the Prince of Hope, our brother, Michael Jackson.
So I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and what I find interesting is the story of David. He fell in very, very significant ways, but then picked up the pieces and built from there.
I just had a conversation with Al Franken congratulating him. My wife's faith, the Catholic faith, she's there praying the rosary, and in the New Testament, Philippians, is a section to be anxious about nothing, prayer and supplication, faith in God. I'm in the Jewish faith, and God has a plan. I believe that.
The president does say he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman, but he's opposed to the Defense of Marriage Act. He wants to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
A couple of special friends, Bishop Gene Robinson. Where's Gene?
Well, Jesus has a lot of titles. He's called the Prince of Peace. He's Savior. He's Messiah. Author of Life. There are all sorts of titles in Scripture. You've all seen the poster that was popular back in the mid-80s of all the various titles of Jesus, Old and New Testament. The one that perhaps is most mysterious to us is Alpha and Omega, and Jesus ascribes to himself this title. That makes it unique in another sense. We're going to be talking about Alpha and Omega here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. It's the 6th of July. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Professor Thomas Egger will be our guest for that first half hour. In the second part of this first hour, Mark Hemingway will join us from National Review Online. We'll talk about Governor Sarah Palin's political future. She won't be governor for long. She's going to hand those duties off to someone else. And she's going to do what? No one knows. There's a lot of speculation. We'll find out whether or not it was a smart move if she has her eye on the White House anytime soon with Mark Hemingway. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us to talk about an Old Testament saint and prophet remembered by the church on this day, Isaiah. And then in the second hour of the program, well, that's in the second hour of the program, a little later in the second hour, Father Todd Wetzel and Father Philip Ashe will join us. The Episcopal Church USA is getting ready for its general convention. It begins Wednesday in Anaheim, California, and we will get a little preview of what that Protestant denomination is going to be working on. They've been moving away from worldwide Anglicanism, and they've got a group moving away from them. We'll find out whether they'll deal with any of the breakoff groups in their general convention come later this week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Professor Thomas Egger is Assistant Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled The Alpha and the Omega. Thomas, welcome back.
Good to talk to you, Todd.
Where do we find the biblical reference for this Alpha and Omega?
Well, the place that you referred to earlier where Jesus himself describes himself as the Alpha Omega comes in the very last chapter of the New Testament, Revelation 22, and there Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And that's the only passage in the Bible where Jesus is described as the Alpha and the Omega, but he parallels that with these other titles that really mean the same thing, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And those passages, those references, or I should say those titles, are found in other places describing Jesus in the New Testament and describing God himself in the Old Testament.
Is it significant that this is a title that Jesus ascribes to himself?
I think so. He in the context of Revelation 22, is talking about the consummation of all things, the new heavens and the new earth, and there especially the aspect of Jesus as the Omega, the end of all things, the one who himself personally is promising us that he is going to be our end. He is going to take care of us, take care of the whole creation in the last day and forever. So yeah, it's clearly a claim not only of gospel promise to us that he is our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end, but also that he is claiming to be God himself. He is laying hold of this Old Testament language about God, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and saying this God who was on the scene at the beginning, who created all things, who's been with Israel, he is now speaking to you. I am the one. I am the one who took on flesh, who was dead, and now I'm alive again.
Explain the two terms, Alpha and Omega.
Yeah, well, these are Greek letters, so it's not surprising that these specific terms aren't used in the Old Testament for God, because the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, but the New Testament is written in Greek, and so Jesus is speaking in the Greek language to John in the book of Revelation, and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So Alpha is our A, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So if we were to put this into modern English, we might have Jesus saying, I am the A and the Z, the first and the last.
It's you said before that it's an assertion of his divinity, this connection to the way that God is described in the Old Testament. Take us to some of those passages, if you would.
Well, it's especially, this language is especially common in Isaiah. And the two key passages, one is in Isaiah 44, verse 6. The other is in Isaiah 48, verse 12. And the language is pretty similar between those two verses. In Isaiah 48, God says, I am he, I am the first and the last. And what's being talked about in the context in both Isaiah 44 and in Isaiah 48 is God in comparison with the false gods of the nations. And God is claiming, laying claim to really two great aspects of his being that set him apart from all of the false gods worshipped around Israel. First of all, he's the creator. He's the one who made all things, whereas the gods of the nations, they are made by men. They're fashioned by human hands. And also, God is the one who authors all of history and who proclaims what is to come before it comes to be. None of the other gods can speak. They're all mute. God, on the other hand, speaks, and specifically, he speaks about what is to come. He tells where history is heading. And so in the book of Isaiah, he is talking about the destruction that's going to come on his people through the Assyrians and through the Babylonians, but he also speaks sweet words of restoration. He has an end in view that he's leading the people towards. And so it's in that context that he says, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I'm the creator of all, and I'm the one who governs history and is bringing it towards the end that I'm already speaking about, I'm already promising.
Does this give us then a good starting place for the book of Revelation, which mystifies so many, to understand at least broadly what Jesus is about to reveal to John when he utters those words concerning himself?
Yeah, Jesus is, in the book of Revelation, in many ways, revealing to John the whole sweep of history with a particular accent on its goal, where things are heading. And the additional element that Jesus adds when he takes these titles for himself in Revelation is that he emphasizes, especially in the first two uses, in Revelation chapter 1 already, Jesus says, Fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. And then in Revelation 2, he actually uses first and the last almost as a proper name. And it says, John writes, These are the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. And so here Jesus is taking these divine titles for himself with the additional element that he is the one who has come in the flesh now. He is the God of all, the creator, the God of Israel, but he's come in the flesh, he's entered into death for our salvation, and he's come back to life again. And he now comes in the book of Revelation at the very outset, holding the keys of death and hell in his hands. He is the one who is going to lead his people through all the struggles of this life and into the life which death has no claim on any longer.
So what we need to do when we come back is we need to draw the connection, because I think the average person hearing Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last, is going to think in terms of Christ's eternity, the second person of the Trinity, with no beginning and no end. And to reconcile that, if it's even possible, with the emphasis that Jesus puts upon those titles when he connects it to his incarnation, to his suffering, to his death, which is, for us, at least humanly speaking, the end, and to his resurrection, which for us in Christ is a beginning. So it's a beginning that has no beginning and an end that has no end. We'll talk more about Alpha and Omega. Pastor Thomas Egger is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This Monday afternoon, July the 6th, you can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us with questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Professor Eggers mentioned Isaiah a little bit later in the program. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us. The church is remembering Isaiah, Old Testament saint and prophet, on this day. Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University in Chicago will be our guest a little later to talk about Isaiah. 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. It's hard to hold these two things in your mind at once. The fact that Jesus is eternal, that he is the beginning of all things and he's the end of all things, and yet if you look him up on the calendar, so to speak, you will find him firmly occupying human history. We say in the Creed, begotten of the Father before all worlds, born of the Virgin Mary. We'll talk about Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega's entrance into human history after this. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back, Kathleen Tharp, Thomas Dubinin, Ben Ringvelsky, Pastor Denny Keyes, James Monken, Audrey Aiken, Elaine Mole, Susan Fortune, James Chapelow, and Glenn Colley. Thanks for your support.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven, so I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado, St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Click Promote. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Professor Tom Egger is our guest, assistant professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's authored an article in the latest edition of Higher Things magazine titled The Alpha and the Omega. That's our subject. Tom, before the break, you said there's a specific connection here. Both of the times that this is used, either explicitly or implicitly by Jesus in Revelation, to his death and his resurrection. And I guess the average person hearing Alpha and Omega is going to think in kind of abstract terms, in terms of Christ's, his eternity, no beginning, no end. How it is, why is it important that it's connected to these very historic events of death and resurrection?
That's a great question, and I think it's very important as we witness the accounts of our Lord Jesus on Sunday morning, as we stand up in church and hear the gospel readings read, or on our own as we hear these Bible stories about the man Jesus and his life here on earth. Part of our Christian confession and really part of our Christian worship is to firmly hold in mind as we hear those stories that this is our God, that this is the eternal one who now stands in human flesh, revealing to us the face of God. Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Paul writes to the Colossians that in Jesus the fullness of the deity dwelt in bodily form. It's a mystery, and it's a wonder how this could be, and yet this is the confession of the Scriptures and of our faith, that this man, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who went forth from Nazareth doing good and preaching the good news, who suffered under Pontius Pilate and rose again, that this is actually the Creator God himself. And I think especially in our day, where in the public schools so often Christianity has set aside all of the other religions in the history textbooks or the social studies textbooks, and you'll learn a little bit about Buddha and the founding of Buddhism, and you'll learn a little bit about Buddha as a historical figure, and you'll learn about Jesus and the founding of Christianity and learn a little bit about Jesus as a historical figure. Then you'll learn about Muhammad and the founding of Islam and a little bit about Muhammad as a historical figure. And I think it's tempting, perhaps, or misleading to young minds to simply allow Jesus to be set in that kind of a historical context where all that there is to Jesus is he's yet another man, yet another religious leader. And this confession, Alpha and Omega, firmly denies that. It says there is something far more to Jesus of Nazareth, something far more to Jesus born of Mary than a mere man.
Philosophically, we have a hard time reconciling the finite with the infinite. The events that began and ended in Jesus' earthly ministry with the fact that we are dealing here with the infinite God. There are even some Christians who would assert, as you well know, that the two can't be reconciled. Really, yes, Jesus is God incarnate, but the finite can never encompass the infinite. What does the Bible teach in that respect?
Well, the Bible doesn't engage in any long philosophical discussions about those things. It just confesses that God, who is the first and the last, who laid the foundations of the earth and who made great promises to his people Israel, that he himself took on human flesh. And so I don't know that we need to engage in a lengthy philosophical defense, somehow trying to demonstrate that the finite is capable of containing the infinite. We simply look at the manger, and we look at our Lord, at his deeds, and at his claims about himself, and we confess what he has shown to be true, which is that if the God of heaven so desires to save his people that he's willing to come and take on their flesh and atone for their sin and win for them a kingdom, he's up to the job. He's not going to be stopped by our philosophical claims.
What is the goal? I can't remember if you called it a goal or not, a purpose toward which all of this is headed in Christ.
Well, I guess I don't know that I really spell that out in the article, but I would say scripturally the story ends with God having his people around himself forever. And with us having joined into community with and communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who have been from the beginning, one aspect of our Lord's claim that he is the first, that he's the beginning, is the sense, the realization that the Son of God has existed by the Father's side from before the foundation of the world. The New Testament even speaks of Jesus being loved by the Father from before the foundation of the world. Jesus speaks about that in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. And I think one of the beautiful aspects of the coming kingdom that's been promised to the redeemed of Christ is that it will be a kingdom full of the love of God himself. This is a love that existed before the creation of the world. Before Adam and Eve were loved by God, the Father already loved the Son, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelled in a perfect communion of love, perfect community of love. And I guess the goal towards which everything is heading is that that perfect communion of love will be established again, only it will be a broader circle. All of the redeemed will be a part of that as well, and we will share that perfect love of God with one another and with God himself.
When Jesus says, asserting that he is Alpha and Omega, you made reference to this before, I hold the keys of death and Hades, what is he saying?
Yeah, death and hell both are being pictured as a prison there, right? This is the place which we cannot keep ourselves from heading. Death is that which swallows us all and then imprisons us all. And I can't climb out of the tomb, and you can't either once we're there. And yet, here is the one who has. And so it's a reference in this passage. He's described himself as the one who was dead and is alive again forevermore. And he's the one who holds the keys of death and hell. Jesus has entered into the grave, and he has conquered death. He has the power of an indestructible life. He has come forth from death, and his promise to us is that he is the one personally who will lead us out of our death as well. We can't, but he holds the keys.
Finally, then, we probably see this more often than not in church on a banner or sometimes on a candle, these two letters, Alpha, Omega. In a nutshell, then, what should Christians know about this claim that Christ takes for himself? I am the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah, I guess I would stress two things. First of all, not to lose sight of the end towards which all things are pressing, that Jesus has a future for us in his kingdom, that he's won the kingdom and that the day is coming soon, and that that end, as you said, the end that goes on forever, is firmly promised to us by a God who keeps his promises, a Savior who keeps his promises. And the other aspect that I would want to stress is that he who is the first and the last has not left us alone in the in-between times. He is the living one throughout all of time. And so Jesus didn't just create the world and then go on vacation, nor did he redeem us and ascend into heaven and then somehow plan to take time off until the end of time. Jesus is risen, he is alive, and he's present now in his church. He's present with us to the very end of the age, at which he will show himself in the fullness of his faithfulness to us.
Professor Tom Egger is assistant professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's authored an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine, The Alpha and the Omega. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Great to talk to you.
That's the great comfort for us here and now, in the in-between time, between the beginning and the end. Christ has caught us up into his eternal life by his entering into human flesh, and in that human flesh, bearing our sins into death as a sacrifice, and out of the grave as the vindication of that sacrifice. And now his life is our life, and we're caught up in his life, and that means where he goes, we go. He says it to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going away, I'm coming back. And I'm going to prepare a place for you because where I am, you must be also. So connected has he made himself to us in his flesh, in his suffering, in his death, in his resurrection, that where he goes, we go. In the in-between time, has he left us alone? Has he gone away? And is he phoning it in from a distance? No. He is still with us. Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age and to the end of the age. We will be with him as he is with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Governor Sarah Palin's political future. We know what she's going to do as of the 26th of this month. She's going to hand the reins of government in Alaska over to her lieutenant governor. But no one knows what she's going to do after that. Everyone suspects something significant, perhaps even aiming at the White House. And if that's the case, was it a good idea for her to do what she did on Friday, which is announce her resignation as governor of Alaska? We'll talk with Mark Hemingway about Sarah Palin's resignation on the other side of this break. We have one more way for you to connect to us here at Issues Etc. It's Facebook. If you're not a member of Facebook, go there, www.facebook.com. Sign up and then find us, Issues Etc. on Facebook. You get updates and all sorts of other information, pictures. www.facebook.com. Issues Etc. is there now. I'm Todd Wilkham. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Bruce Burton, Judy Lloyd, Kenneth Peterson, Eric Howard Smith, Scott McCoy, Mary Camfield, Frank Morano, Benjamin Gaffoni, and Mona Hand. Thanks for your support.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Abortionists are known for their violence against unborn babies, but one is making news about his violent behavior outside the abortion mill. Tim, a pro-lifer, was taking photographs of an abortionist going out of an abortion mill known for its illegal antics. The abortionist, Howard Fupagena, demanded Tim stop. When Tim persisted, he attacked him, causing lacerations. He knocked him to the ground and put his knee on his throat, choking him. Tim called for help. The police were summoned and charged the abortionist with assault and battery. I'm guessing, had this been a pro-life assailant, we would have all heard about the event on the evening news. As demonstrated by this case, those who commit violence inside abortion mills are likely to repeat it outside also.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.